I'm entitled to see movies that don't suck.
I would tell anybody outside the family what you're thinking again.
I was not expecting that.
After you've scrubbed all the floors in Hyrule, then we can talk about mercy. Take him away.
No!
We are going to die.
Yuff. My ship sails in the morning. I wonder what's for dinner.
It's a jacked up review show. It's a jacked up review show. Jacked up review show. It's a jacked up review show.
Join your host Cam Sully each week as he chats with special guests to discuss many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons.
Phantasm. Is it a nightmare? Phantasm. Is it an illusion?
Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast that wouldn't die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron.
I have just joined Threads.
Have you now? I want all the detail. Before that, each week on the podcast, I Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genres with a comedic twist. This week, we're discussing the, I think it's 1979 classic, Phantasm, starring some people and little Jawas and balls that hit people in the head. So good times had by all.
They don't just hit you in the head. This isn't like baseball or you know, Little League World Series. Does a little bit more.
It does a little bit more, for goodness sake. Aaron, what's up with you? What you doing?
What is that, a f***ing piranha behind you? I'm seeing this giant thing doing loop-de-loops behind your head.
That is what we call in the business a goldfish.
Well, you're so pixelated that it could be the phantasm ball flying right at your head.
Don't talk about our
I just got
video
back
quality.
With Vegas.
Go ahead.
Just got back from Las Vegas, where once again, unless you're prepared to go to like a really nice restaurant, you're paying top dollar for sub Denny's food. Let me just repeat that. Sub Denny's food. Three people for breakfast, fried eggs and bacon, coffee that tasted worse than church coffee. It's like sub Folgers. I think it was like $130 at our f-ing hotel.
Becky and I went to the movies here in Irvine yesterday. The matinee, the first showing, for two tickets, $40.
What? Is that the one where people come and give you a little massage, and then if you tip them, they give you the special massage? What are you getting for your $20? Do you get a popcorn? What do you get? You get a touch? You get a feel? What's happening?
Well, I think because it was supposedly the VIP theater, which means the seats recline, which is nice.
Oh, is this the Cineopolis?
Not really, though, but it was, I think... Now, they didn't say this. They just took my $40 and happily sent me on my way. I think if I would have sat down and used, like, the app or something, I could have placed orders for food. But by then, I'm sitting there with my popcorn that I waited in line for. because they don't tell you anything. They just go, that's $20, excuse me, $40 for two tickets, sir. Enjoy your matinee pricing. Good times.
I get, my theater has the recliners, but quite frankly, I stopped going to the place where you push the button and food arrives because I don't want fucking people walking in front of me and just fucking eating nachos. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm dropping a lot of F-bombs. Just the overwhelming, it's enough, all their body smells, but now all through the thing, they're getting drinks, they're getting foul-smelling things all around me. Next, they'll be bussing out like microwave fish and deliver it fresh to your table.
It'll be, it has to be microwave is what I want. I want the microwave. Is that too much to ask?
I mean, I appreciate having a drink, but I go old school, man. I just put my little, if I need a beer in a theater, I just put it in my little insulated sleeve, pop it in my purse. Where you go? I once bought a bottle of wine, but then Heather went to the bathroom and kicked the bottle, and we were at the back, so it just slowly clink. All the way down.
I'm sure the other people enjoyed this viewing experience with the freaks in the back kicking bottles of wine.
I mean, movies are about mindless eating, so I might as well just spend my $10 to get my popcorn. Otherwise, I mean, it's food that's squeezed out of a bag. When I want to have dinner, I'll go to the dinner after the movies, and then we can chit-chat and have my food in the light. But in Vegas, there is one of those places where it's completely dark and then they feed you if you'd like that.
Well, and the other gooch about these places is that you are carbo loading. So then 10 minutes in the movie, you're snoozing away and it's a very expensive nap.
That's why you pour the extra jalapeno juice on your on your popcorn. It kind of keeps you awake a little bit. Bink.
Need to. And then a huge jug of just caffeine. Just to kind of counteract the carb. Very upsetting.
I have my diet root beer, caffeine-free, thank you. But I do enjoy my popcorn at the movies. Although, most often, I feel violently ill by the radioactive fake butter they put on it, even though I don't add any to it. It's just what naturally boils it in, you know?
No, I gotta drown it. I put in a bunch of jalapeno, bunch of salt, and then drown it in the butter. And that, honestly, it's like you said, that is half the reason why I go to the movies, is for 100%. The huge tub of popcorn. Because you can't replicate that at home.
I have tried. I bought some clarified butter because I had a friend who was a chef who made us popcorn one time with clarified butter, and it almost tastes like movie popcorn. But you're right. The smell, the salt, the flavor cannot be replicated. That's why we know it's not of nature, maybe not even of this universe. And you could be from the staunchest, healthiest person on the world. As soon as you walk in the theater, it's like someone takes a baseball bat and hits you in the face with that smell. And you're like, I'm going to have some popcorn. It doesn't matter if you just had the biggest meal of your life. Your belly is distended. You have acid reflux because you're up to your eyes with food. As soon as you smell that popcorn, you're like, bring me popcorn, sweet, sweet, like the zombie, sweet, sweet popcorn.
It's like a heroin addict. It is. Maybe that's
like the Iggy Pop of popcorn and movies.
This is true. I was going to say, maybe the sauce comes from the Phantasm world. So why don't you give us your...
Was that color? I was the lady who made the popcorns at my elementary school for the carnival. And it is an equal amount of the Phantasm yellow goo to popcorn with salt. And you just squeeze it all in, like equal ratio.
Absolutely. But yeah,
it's toxic and delightful.
30-second synopsis.
Orphan boys living in Lux, clearly no social services in the 70s. People are disappearing. Freaky things are happening at the cemetery. The tall man, who's only your height, by the way, is trying to grab people one by one. He's been grabbing them since the 1800s. I thought it was... back in the days of Charles Dickens, was cruising around whatever city this is He looked like the child catcher. And they shrink him down, dress him like the sand people from the first Star Wars, and then send him to Dune? That looks like Dune, I'm right? Yeah. Then it suddenly becomes a David Lynch film. Things don't work out so well.
Well, I mean, and they don't... They don't really explain. There isn't that moment where the tall man goes, let me tell you my evil plan.
And thank God, that's a Bond villain where like, you're about to die, but let me explain all my vulnerabilities over and over again.
It's true. Now, I'm assuming you've seen this before. Do you remember the first time you saw it?
It has to be with you because I remember everybody talking about it. And it was so scary and I was all freaked out about it. So I'm sure I saw it with you. I always feel like we've seen it like 12 times this year. And then you tell me that we've never reviewed it, which was shocking to me.
We watched, most recently, prior to this view, we had watched that there was a Joe Bob marathon. Over a Christmas break where it was Phantasm, Phantasm 3, and Phantasm 4.
That's what we saw.
So we watched.
I honestly have no memory of the other movies. Did I pass out or something?
Probably. I always tell the story. As a child, I was probably 7 or 8, and a babysitter was over. Mom and Dad were out of there. Older sibs were out of the house for some reason. Maybe I was older than 7 or 8. I don't know how old I was. I was young. And the babysitter's like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I looked in the TV guide, which was a book that you would look at that would arrive however once in a while and go, oh, this is what's going to be on TV that night or whatever.
And you could highlight it or circle it so you don't miss
absolutely. So I looked in there and I said, ooh, Fantasia is going to be on tonight. That beloved Disney classic, which I have to say, I don't know why, what child would want to watch Fantasia, where it's basically...
I still haven't seen it. It looks so f***ing boring.
It is a 2-hour, it's like classic music to, cartoon, essentially. Not something kids would be dying to watch today. Let's just say that. But I'm like, I want to watch Fantasia. So we sit down, turn on the old TV, and cuts to, it is literally the graveyard effing scene where they're right out the gate. They're in the graveyard. And I don't know if it was the one boob, because I'm assuming it was on regular TV. So it probably wasn't, the one boob reveal, but it was clear that they were having sex.
The girl's hurting the boy.
And I remember the babysitter looking at me going like, this is a Disney movie? And that was the end of Phantasm. That was my Phantasm experience where I'm just like, I was hooked. I was hooked after that.
Get me more of that.
Hell yes. I don't think I saw it in its entirety for another 20 years. If I had to guess, I remember that there were balls, silver balls that fly around. And I remember there was the tall man. Now, in the mid to late 80s, they released a sequel, Phantasm 2, which was a big, where this was kind of a low-budget deal, okay? Phantasm 2 was like a Hollywood big-budget sequel, right? In the 80s, as we all know, it was the time of, I'm digging up the old sequels of horror movies past. Like, they did multiple sequels to Psycho, which came out in 1960. They dug old Anthony Perkins out of the grave and said, hey, we're getting to work, right?
No, so, that was a tragedy.
So what was interesting about Phantasm 2 is they recast the role of the young boy. Basically, Don Coscarelli, who was the director-writer of Phantasm, in the meantime did Beastmaster. Did you ever see Beastmaster?
Of course I
Mark
did not.
Singer?
No.
But what is your problem? Well, are you aware that a movie exists?
I'm aware it exists, but I didn't watch He-Man and She-Ra cartoons. I didn't see Conan the Destroyer, none of that bullshit.
Conan? I don't know if it's Kohanon that I would do this.
Kohanon the Destroyer.
That is true. So Don Coscarelli kind of had a, like, people were like, okay, well, he's kind of a mainstream-ish director, so we will allow you to do your sequel. And he wanted to bring back the two surviving characters, Mike and Reggie. And they made them re-audition. And in the end, the studio said, you can bring one of them back, and we're going to recast the other. So he kept Reggie, the bald... the bald guitar playing ice cream man, and recast the younger kid with James LaGrosse, who would go on and actually be in movies. He was in Point Break. He was in, I think he was in Drugstore Cowboy. He was in a number of things, but he did. So that's the story of that. Anyway, good grief. We're all over the map here. Phantasm. Let's jump right in with the highlights. Aaron, why don't you go first?
Well, of course, the highlight is, I'm just going to go for it, is when the ball sticks you in the head with its point. It, like, drills into your brain, and a hole opens up like a bee hole, and just blood comes shooting out across the room. Fantastic.
All over the floor.
It drains you because they got to fill you up with that liquid oil from the movie theater. That's what shrinks you down to one of the sand people, so you can go to the Dune dimension.
This movie is so bonkers. First of all, phantasm in my mind means like ghosts, right? There are ghosts up in here. There are no ghosts in this movie. This is more of kind of a Plan 9 from outer space kind of thing, whereas aliens abducting the corpses and using them for their own fiendish thing,
I don't
right?
even know if they're aliens or if this is just, you know, like, what is it? The Twilight Zone, a key to another dimension.
Oh, it could be. Could be a dimension thing, right? We don't know. No explanation.
That was the vibe I was getting. And, I mean, there's some good stuff to this. It gives you a little taste of 2001. I got a little 2001 vibe. The music is, of course, horror music from the late 70s, early 80s is fantastic. It has a little giallo, has a little goblin-esque.
Absolutely.
It's all good.
No question. So, okay, you've got the main characters. You've got Mike, who I'm thinking is like 11 years old, something like that, who's riding his bike all over town. Doesn't seem to have any friends his own age or even classmates. I guess at one point they say it's summertime to kind of justify why this kid's just riding his bike all over the countryside.
Well, they're orphans, and the poor child has like PTSD. I don't know why his parents are dead, but they're dead, and he follows his older brother everywhere because he's convinced that he's going to leave him.
Rightfully so. Rightfully, his older brother, Jody, who looks like he's about 40, is like constantly, I guess he was kind of living that 70s lifestyle. He's in there in his Hemi Cuda doing his business. And then the parents die. So he's got to come back and look after his little brother. So he's like, this town's not big enough for all the good things I was doing.
For the both of us. He looks like Hasselhoff light.
Oh, absolutely. Like the feathered hair. No question. And Jody's best friend, Reggie, is the ice cream man who's got that. And this was big in the 70s. You're bald on top. I'm going to let it grow long on the sides and back, though, and end in a ponytail.
Like it's Thomas Jefferson. If Thomas Jefferson also had Nosferatu, like pointed sideburns.
Wait a minute.
What was Thomas Jefferson? It is a whole look. Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson had hair. I don't know. Maybe Benjamin Franklin?
We'll call it a Franklin. He's rocking a Franklin, but with Franklangella vampire sideburns.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure when that was ever a thing. I think it's a thing now. Or like, it was a thing in the 90s when tattoos were very popular, riding motorcycles, and having weird sideburns.
It was a thing. It was absolutely a thing. And there's a scene where Jody's sitting on his porch playing his electric guitar. Reggie pulls up in his ice cream truck, gets out his acoustic car or guitar, and they just start jamming on the stoop for 10
drinking
minutes.
Drinking a Dos Equis at what, noon, 2 in the afternoon?
Yes!
Oh, no, wait a second.
Please, go for
it. Oh, you're right. It was summer session because at one point, the ice cream man homie said he had that school summer session wasn't out yet. So he had to go stock the elementary schools. Want some candy?
It was funny because he's wearing like all white, right? Except for like a leather vest that he threw on his ice cream man uniform. Okay.
It's important that he lets fellow travelers know that he is also into bondage.
Absolutely. That is pretty standard.
In nowadays, it would be one of those leather harnesses, I think.
Like American Horror Story is what you're thinking. That kind of quality.
I am 100% thinking of the last edition.
I have to go back. So the very first scene cuts to Graveyard. And I kept thinking, these dudes that they keep showing are the townspeople or whatever. They're clearly old enough to have their own place. They don't have to take the chick that you meet at the bar to the local graveyard to get down to biz amongst the rows.
It was the 70s, brother. It was a different time. The birth control pill was out. So it's all about that getting that graveyard sex.
Pretty much. Well, the dude literally had like a handlebar mustache grunting and groaning. Oh, yeah, baby. Good stuff. There's a grave. You're on a grave. That's not.
He looked like the dude from the Vow.
It was something. Very upsetting. And it cuts to they're getting down and with this woman in a lavender dress who they kept showing her face. And I remember as a kid, I thought she had like a rubber mask face, but that was just her face. That was the dead eyes just of a hooker. Face. It was very upsetting. No offense. No,
oh,
whatever.
It's so good, baby. Give it to me.
Right. They zoom in with her blonde straw like hair. Cause it's the 70s. No one used conditioner. And then it cuts to just like her chest where you see one hand covering one boob, the other boob out. And then you see her pull out like a knife and kills the dude, presumably. And then it smash cuts to it's their funeral. So over the course of the movie, and
I think you missed the part. Wasn't it switching between her face and the tall man's face?
Yes. Yes. And eventually it would be like, her crazy face, then it's the tall man's face. And they kind of cut back and forth. It kind of lets you know that you've really been having sex with a tall man all along.
Right.
At that point, I think you're grabbing the knife yourself. I don't know what you're doing at that stage.
He doesn't say stop. Let me just say
he
that.
He said, let me finish. I'm almost there.
Just give me a minute.
Yes. Just give me a minute. So I think somewhere along the lines, the tall man, who is like the mortician guy, the funeral home director, he is killing people under his lavender girl disguise after coaxing them to the graveyard. And then at the funeral, so they do the whole funeral, there's the wake, whatever. They're about to put the coffin into the grave. All the pallbearers leave. They're like, okay. Funeral's over. Then he picks up the coffin by himself when they establish there's like six guys struggling to carry this thing and just tosses it into the back of the hearse and drives it back up where under some process, I'm not sure it's revealed, he turns the corpses into little Jawas who wear nothing but like little brown like robes. And you see him kind of lurking, scampering behind the tombstones every now and again. Is that correct? Do I forget anything?
100% correct. This is the universe where the Jawas are allowed to roam free without fear of that damn Luke Skywalker blasting them.
It's true. So also, if you happen to walk the hallways of the funeral home, from time to time, a little silver ball may chase you. And if it gets you, it has like these two spiky things they stick into your forehead and you're like, ow, that hurts. And then a little drill comes out and gets you right here and squirts your blood across the room. So that, and then I guess they grab you and turn you into a Jawa. I don't know what happens at that point.
There's so many ways to get effed up in this movie.
Yes.
But the way to stay safe, stay the F away from this. Don't get on people's radar. Don't ask questions. The other thing I keep thinking of, I've never seen the movie Rollerball, but I hope the Rollerball is this, in fact, sphere. Is that correct?
It's the exact same thing.
Makes much more interesting sport.
This is okay. This is neither here nor there, but Rollerball, it takes place in the future. So this is like mid-70s James Caan. Takes place in the future where this is the national sport, which was roller derby, which was a popular, though regional sport of the early 70s for about 5 minutes there. There was the LA Thunderbirds, who was a popular rollerball. Wasn't called roller. What is it called? What was the sport called? Roller derby,
roller derby. It's roller derby.
Roller derby, because you're on roller skates.
It became very popular, like in the 2000s for women. Women's roller derby.
They kind of brought it back. You're right.
Yeah.
Brought it back in the early 2000s. There was a movie called with like Drew Barrymore.
I can't think of it.
Whip It. Was that what it was called? It was something.
I think one of your homies, sister was doing it for a while.
This is Jen's true. A friend of Becky was doing it for a little while. Like, it was a thing. Like, people who were like bored housewives were like, I'll just do roller derby for a little bit.
Yeah.
Which does not sound like tattoo, fun.
And I'm going to do roller. Yeah, it seems painful.
It seems painful.
Because it's like roller skating, but people are pushing you on the ground.
Yes.
So you fall. Yay.
You were. I went ice skating. This is years ago. Maybe 20 years ago, I went ice skating. And I'm proficient, meaning I can typically go around the ring, forward, straight ahead. Okay.
That's considered proficient?
In my mind, it's proficient.
I have a question, Professor.
Please.
That's proficient. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still not proficient.
So, and a dude was going way too fast. And presumably it was a stranger. He blindsided me and knocked me on my ass, and it didn't feel good. And I was about to get up and start fighting somebody. So I'm like, who the hell just hip checked me to the ground?
Start throwing those skates, man. Did we watch a movie where somebody had a skate in his head? Halloween H2O, skate in the head.
That's all coming true.
As foretold at Halloween H2O.
And I wasn't supposed to be falling on the ground, as you might imagine. So being in a sport where you're constantly crashing onto the ground with people's skates, smack kicking you in the head. I guess, they're not called skates. They are called roller skates. Not ice skates, but roller skates.
Oh my God. I think they're called roller skates.
If I had to guess. Anyway, we've gone off the GD rails. So the dude who gets stabbed at the beginning of the movie, they rule it a suicide because, yes, people often stab themselves multiple times in the chest when they're trying to commit suicide.
I guess it's a choice. It wouldn't be mine.
It would be. He must have caught himself by surprise. Yeah. It's not a thing people typically do, I would have to guess, right?
I would guess so. I think you're right about that.
Now, you talked about how little Mike has PTSD because he's convinced that his brother is about to leave him. He's like, yeah. He overhears his brother saying, yeah, I'm going to go dump him off at Aunt Sally's house, I think. Because, I'm a rambling man. I'm a rambling man. I got a road and a guitar. So I gotta do... My love, my life, my lady is the sea, was basically what he said. This is the 70s. That's how they did it.
All right. Brandon.
So that seems like kind of a shitty move, bro. You have one. You guys are all you have in the world. I guess there's Aunt Martha or whatever also somewhere. And you're like, There was a 45-year age difference between us. We aren't that close to begin with, I guess. But I gotta hit the road. Very upsetting. What you got?
I got where little Timmy O'Toole is asleep in his bed and he wakes up to see this a cemetery with a tall man standing over him. And then all of a sudden, corpses jump across his bed and lay on him. That would wake me up. Hells yeah.
That might have been the scene of the movie.
Yeah.
Honestly.
For sure. For sure. Pre-Freddy Krueger and the Dream Warrior. This was all, am I in a dream? Is it this reality?
Right.
It's all flashing back and forth.
No question. Well, and that's the thing where it's like, there were a lot of movies where it's like, here's the kid. The kid knows everything. The kid has figured out the plan, but no one will believe him.
You know did a mean? Man tell him to relax?
Jody often did. Jody, his older brother, was like, hey, get that kid some Ritalin or something. Strap him to the bed. I got business. Not to mention, he leaves Mike alone all the goddamn time. Jody goes to the bar in his hemi, and they show the interaction where he walks to the bar, he sits there, gets a drink, he sees the woman in lavender sitting three seats over, immediately moves over, they immediately get up, walk out to the car. I'm like, is that the 70s? That's the 70s. In the 80s,
baby.
It didn't work that easy. Let me tell you.
I think it's fascinating that the tall man just sits around and cruises. This is like his local. He's just cruising for locals. Yet no one notices that when the lavender lady leaves with someone, we never see that person again.
Right. They should ask some questions, bartender. What the hell? What's your problem, bro? Drop a dime. Yes. So the only thing that saves Jody from getting killed by the lavender woman, the tall man, is that Mike is eavesdropping with a big old pair of binoculars watching, and some Jawas are sneaking around behind him, which makes him go, ha! And start running across the cemetery screaming. Jody gets up mid-sex act, clearly, and is like, looks
he's
at
got
Mike.
Her chonies in his mouth.
Got her underwear in his mouth, going, Mike, is that you? Sorry, Mike, is that you?
And runs off with the chonies still in his teeth.
Yes. Yes, he
there's all kinds of wrong with this scene, because you see the brother... Like, I don't know, is he going to wank off? Was that his initial plan? Because he's like, ooh, he sees like the tall man's boobies. But then you see him actually from his perspective, there's no way he would have seen that.
Right.
He's 100 yards away and his brother's completely blocking the woman.
That is correct.
So I don't know how he was seen with his binoculars from above down at someone's boobies.
Right. It's not easy. Let me tell you, it's not easy. I did like
the
he's looking through strong. The all night. Woohoo!
Nasty. Yay, I get to watch my older brother / father have sex. That's hot.
That's what else are you doing in this town? They didn't have video games at this point. I mean, they're Pong, I guess you could play by yourself. Very
at the
upsetting.
Pizza parlor. Yeah.
Right. But I have to say, there are multiple times when it's time for loving. They easily walk into the cemetery. When it's time for scoping out the mausoleum, they have to like scale a huge fence. So it's only open at night sometimes. When the lavender lady's on the prowl, then they just open up the gates. Is that how it works?
That's could right. Be. Let's go. It's wide open.
It could be.
Quite frankly, where are the little goth teenagers smoking marijuana? Why aren't they there witnessing all this?
They don't exist in this town. There's only so many extras they could have, essentially.
Is this Hot Fuzz and they've driven, that tall man has driven them all out?
That's exactly right. right in the movie, Mike is chased by the tall man who's reaching out for him. And tall man's hand gets stuck in the door. And his fingers are just kind of tinkling around. And Mike takes a knife and just chops the dude's fingers off. And there's yellow blood everywhere, like mustard or something.
Like French's mustard.
French's. It was not spicy brown. That is for sure.
It was not Dijon.
It was not. He picks up the still wriggling finger, which I don't know why you would think to do this. Picks up the finger, and he has a special, like, wooden box that he puts the finger in. And then that's what he shows. Later, he's like, hey, take a look, Jody. Now do you believe me? There's a crazy finger pointing at you.
Remember, that was like a joke thing you would do in elementary school. You had like a tiny box, and you'd put your finger in that. What came first? Phantasm or the little finger on the box?
I think Phantasm inspired it all, if I have to guess. No, it was top drawer special effects, let me tell you. It was literally like, look, it's a crazy finger.
Love it. I love it.
So now Jody's convinced. Reggie's like, hey, let me just, I'll drive my ice cream truck. He's involved now somehow. Over the course of the movie, they figure out there's like a weird white room with these like steel drums or whatever. And inside the drums, theoretically, are the little Jawas. Because when the Jawas are not doing the evil bidding of the tall man, I guess they shove them in these drums and then ship them off to the other dimension.
And yeah, off to Stanley Kubrick's 2001.
Off to Dune, off to Tatooine. Who's to say?
Tatooine.
And when Mike almost gets sucked through the porthole, they pull him back, and then he immediately goes, they're slaves. They're slaves. They're making them into slaves, but there's no other explanation. Slaves for who? Slaves for what?
Slaves where? Slaves for how long? Yeah.
No explanation.
Unanswered questions. For another story. I'm sure Phantasm 25 wraps all this up.
I think, using my knowledge of the other movies, if I remember this correctly, it was something along the lines of they take the corpses, because evidently they don't just kill people and turn them into things. They also raid the entire graveyard, take all the bodies out of the grave.
Bless not you. People are just not dying fast enough.
Not fast enough. Scoop up all the bodies out of the graves. They scoop the brains out, and the brains go in the little balls. Okay? Then the bodies get squished, because evidently the gravity on the distant world is heavier. So they squish them so that they're able to survive as slave labor on the other planet. So there
you
go.
Are they alive? So how do they survive?
Nobody knows the answers to these questions. It's hard to know. We may never know. It's very upsetting. So the ending is the most bizarre and confusing moment of all. Okay? The mausoleum explodes. The tall man falls down a hole. We think Reggie gets stabbed by the one, you know, the boob and the knife and the lavender lady. Oh, right. I'm dead. But then Mike wakes up, and no, Jody died in a car accident. It was all a dream. Reggie's fine now. And Reggie's going to take a moment to play his little guitar by the fire. Hey, what do we say? We pack up our bags and hit the road tomorrow. Mike, what do you
think? Pack up all my cares. Whoa, here I go.
What song is that?
Blackbird, Bye Bye.
Oh, there you go. Maybe it was your rendition.
I was waiting for you to do a too wet. Well, it was kind of spoken word.
It was a little bit of spoken word. Mike goes into his room, starts packing up, because now all family members have dead. I guess now he's just going to roll with Reggie the ice cream man, because I guess what else are you going to do at that stage of the game? In the reflection in his room, he sees the tall man. Oh, my God. I thought it was all a dream. And the tall man says, I don't know, says some shit. And the mirror breaks behind Mike, and the hands grab him and pull him in to the mirror, and then it ends. That was a great good moment. Ending. That was a good great. It made absolutely no sense, but it was a powerful. Why is Jody alive? Why is Jody dead? Why is Reggie alive?
So he literally wakes up, and like none of this has happened. This is like Newhart. It's like the ending of Newhart. He wakes up. It was all a dream.
It was all a dream.
No, it wasn't.
So there's a lot of it. And if you watch the other Phantasm movies, they all kind of end in that kind of thing where it's like, oh, it was all a dream. And then the tall man pops out. No, it wasn't. And then somebody grabs them from behind and then credits roll. They do that multiple times. So it's hard to explain.
The tall man is a fantastic kind of creature in the horror Hall of Fame. Now, back absolutely. To the film, though. You forgot Please. Some gems. First of all, the crazy wasp creature that shows up in the kitchen. That they
the finger.
Keep trying to show...
The finger turned becomes into the giant rosk. Yes, that's what happens. Go
they
ahead.
Keep trying to shove it down the disposal, but then your friendly neighborhood ice cream man shows up, and then it escapes and attacks whatever, Tommy, Mikey, Timmy O'Toole, whatever. Yes. And they manage to shove it back down. It's a life
Stabbing
lesson.
Stabbing it with the knife into the garbage.
Do not pick up wiggly fingers. Life lesson.
Never Avoid wiggly out. Fingers at all costs. No question. That's a good one.
Another else? Time, yeah, they're trying to get rid of it. So he has he was trying to get rid of, somebody was attacking him. The little sand people were attacking him. He had a gun. So he puts the gun to his head to shoot the guy off his head.
Yes! Yes!
Without looking. It's like, boom!
He's like, I'll get you. Yeah, the guy's behind him. He's trying to shoot... Past himself, yes. It was so stupid.
It was beautiful.
Yes, I do remember that. That was a great moment. Unsafe, but yes, brilliant. Anything else? Those are a couple of bangers. I'm not gonna lie.
How about Jody? Which you haven't heard of a man named Jody since like 1968. That name is off the table for men. How many Jodys do you know?
I don't know that many females named Jodys either.
I have a friend named Jody, but female. So it's even more far-reaching trying to find a male Jody. The many. Next thing is the boy gets locked into his room for his own protection. So, of course, he has a shotgun shell that he's now trying to hammer a thumbtack into as a way of getting out of his locked room. Yeah. And sad to say, I know many people who found crazy shotgun shells and crazy bullets out in the desert back in the old days. What if I just hit it with a rock? What will happen then? What if I hit it with a nail? What if I hit it with a hammer and a nail? We had a friend who lost an eye. Yeah, good times. But it's important that they times. Really... No, it's important that this movie really showed you the step-by-step on how you can lose a limb.
Absolutely. It's basically the Anarchist Cookbook. They teach you all the steps, how to blow up your house, kill your family. Absolutely.
I was like, Thanks, why don't you family. Go out the window? But really, mysteriously... His bedroom had no windows. Well, where is he sleeping in this whole empty asylum. House? He had like a bulletin board where the window would have been in a real right. world. So maybe he's in the Harry Potter closet. I don't know.
Who's to say?
And then my last thing is.
Yep.
The tall man kind of looks like Michael McKean.
A little bit. Maybe they're related. You already established this. The tall man, not that tall.
He's like 6'3", 6'4", which is tall, but not enough. They're like, freak. Or like, is the NBA in town? No, not so much.
I'm not even sure he was that tall. What they said is that Jody was basically eye to eye with him. So they had to like use like forced perspective and apple boxes to make the tall man look like, I'm coming at you from up here. Hey, Jody. Oh, my God. How could you? Yeah. They wore him in like tight, like funereal, like black. Yeah. And he's kind of a skinny guy, too, on top of that. So it was kind of like, you know, he's the Slenderman, basically.
He's the Slenderman. But the Slenderman clearly is Jack Skellington. So beware, yes. children.
Beware. Anything else you got?
That's all I got, man. I'm just saying, bang. It's got everything that late 70s. I'm going to take that back. There was a time that I really loved the old, old Hollywood monsters, the classic monsters.
Absolutely.
But I now have a deep appreciation for late 70s, early 80s serious horror movies. And this is a serious film, friend.
This is a serious horror movie. Let's go behind the scenes,
it has everything.
Shall we?
It has everything.
Everything.
Everything, damn it.
Don Coscarelli rented all the filmy equipment used to make this movie always on Fridays so he could use it all weekend and return it on Mondays while only having to pay for one day's rental on the equipment. That
Wise
seems like
man.
A loophole. The genesis of this story came to Don Coscarelli in a dream. One night in his late teens, he dreamed of fleeing down an endlessly long marble corridors pursued by a chrome sphere intent on penetrating his skull with a wicked needle. So there you go. It's all from his dreams.
That's where all the nightmares come from. Damn, subconscious.
The spheres were designed by craftsman Willard Green, who charged a production a little over $1,100 for his services. Sadly, he died just after production completed at the end of 1977 and never saw his work on the big screen.
Because it's a it's iconic. Iconic!
No question. The stone-looking interior of the mausoleum was actually constructed of plywood and marble-colored plastic contact paper. Which,
it
if
looks
you look
really
close,
good.
It looks good from far, but if you take a moment to actually look at it, it looks like it's contact paper.
I just kept thinking, I'm like, where is this mausoleum? Because it just goes, I'm like, marble's really expensive. This place goes on forever. Where is this cemetery?
Yeah. Don Coscarelli's mother, novelist Kate Coscarelli, held several titles in the production and even used two aliases, S. Tyler and Shirley May, for production design and makeup costume design, respectively.
Is she that also just so wrote, you can get multiple paychecks?
I think it was just so low budge that everybody was just helping out the way they could.
There you go.
Should we talk about the rating?
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Cast! Let's do the cast. Oh, I'm like,
all I can say, Angus Scrimm. Angus Scrimm.
Not his real name.
Isn't that amazing? He had like a normal name, but his professional name is Angus Scrimm, which is so fantastic.
It is. It's dynamite. It was something, I'm going to look it up, but it was something like he chose the name Angus Scrimm as a pseudonym because he wanted to do like his serious theater work. He didn't want to like have his crappy movie career interfere with his serious theater work. Isn't that funny?
Oh my god. But it's a perfect horror name.
Oh, no question. Let's see. His real name is Lawrence Guy, or Lawrence Rory Guy was his real name. So there you go.
Fantastic.
Angus Scrimm, American. He's known for Phantasm, Phantasm 2, Phantasm 3, Lord of the Dead, and John Dies at the End. So there you go.
And theater with that real name?
Pretty much. Don Coscarelli, the writer-director. You know him for such amazing films as Bubba Hotep.
Writer-director. Isn't that funny?
Yeah,
he was working late.
Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Phantasm, John Dies at the End, and The Beastmaster, which I think is a classic. Rip Torn, John Amos, Mark Singer, and Tanya Roberts. All sorts of good stuff. A. Michael Baldwin played Mike. You're going to learn that a lot of the characters are named after themselves.
Is he one of the Baldwins?
Unrelated. You know him from Phantasm. He's in all the Phantasm movies with the exception of Phantasm 2. And he was in a movie called Flay in 2019. Good stuff. Bill Thornbury played Jody. You know him from such things as Phantasm, Phantasm 3, Phantasm 4, Phantasm 5. Also did not appear in Phantasm 2. Strange, because he's supposed to be dead, his character. And Reggie Bannister played Reggie, the ice cream man. He's actually been in a ton of stuff. Like, for example, Phantasm. Phantasm 2. He was in Phantasm 2. He was the dude who was in Phantasm 2. Phantasm 4, Phantasm 3, Phantasm 5. A lot of Phantasms, as you might imagine. And we did. I did Angus Scrim already.
No, you said the ice cream man was in a ton of stuff besides Phantasm, and all you said was Phantasm.
Well, those are the top ones. Okay, I will tell you what else he was in. He was in Killer Waves 2. He was in Bone Jangles. He was in The Obsidian Curse, The Intruders, Dr. Spine, Zombie Family.
Dr. Spine? That's not a real thing. Dr. Yes. Spine.
Bloody, bloody Bible Camp. The list goes on and on.
Oh. Good stuff. All right. So he's a slasher prince.
Yes. Well, basically, it's one of those things where people appreciated his work. Because really, he becomes much more fun in the sequels. Like, arguably, the sequels are more about Reggie, the ice cream man, than they are about Mike or Jody. So, good times. Now let's do the ratings.
Lay it on me.
Phantasm. Currently, 74% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Seems
you know what
late.
The audience gave it?
90.
67. 67.
What? Which audience?
Yep. Just people. I don't know. Let's
like people
let's
on the street, like our parents, perhaps, or which people?
Perhaps. They helped out. Let's look at the top critics. Vincent Canby of the New York Times says, it's thoroughly silly and endearing. So there you go. It's endearing. Nick Shager.
I don't think it's silly or endearing.
How dare you? Benefits from repeated viewings.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Let's see. The Variety staff. Always love it when they say it's just the staff. Who knows who wrote
it? It was
this?
A temp who was there for like 2 weeks and we forgot to catch their name.
Strong point of the feature is that it's played for both horror and laughs. So there you go.
Is it played for laughs?
Who's to say?
I feel like they were playing it straight. But it's just is naturally funny.
I think that's right.
You know what I'm saying? They're playing it for laughs, because then you're always like,
Right. Well, they're not good enough actors to be like playing on multiple levels. Right. They got to just do what they can do. You know what I mean? So What is your rating for Phantasm?
Let me tell you first, I have a dream. I would love to be in one of these crazy, not a Rob Zombie. An Eli Roth. But I would love to be in one of these kind of level films.
Of course.
I think just give me three lines. That's all I need. A fantastic death. That's all I'm asking, friend. I think that would be the pinnacle.
Oh, no question. I've often said that I would have played the character in Friday the 13th, the final chapter, the hippie on the side of the road eating a banana who has no lines. And then, Freddy or somebody stabs me in the head and that's the end. That's all
you're
I
like,
need.
That's it. That's the picture at your graveside, at your funeral. That is the picture I will blow up if this was to have happened to you. It'd be like your thoughtful, provoking, serious portrait. And right next to it, Kevin as hippie with a knife in his head.
Why not? Absolutely. What is your rating, goddammit?
I am straight up giving it, because kids, I think this is a Halloween classic.
Yep.
This is any time of the year. You need to have a couple of your homies over, get some trash food, buckle up, snuggle up, and just let this classic, classic movie wash over. 4 out of 5 space balls in your eye.
4 out of 5. I don't disagree. I think it's fun. I think it's creepy. It definitely has those moments where you have to laugh.
It has moments.
Absolutely. I gave it 3 out of 5 lavender dresses with just one boob out. Just one boob out is all you need. It's all you need.
Don't want to be excessive. I think that's low.
Don't get greedy.
Don't get low. I think that's a little low, brother. I mean, I know it's an Academy Award, but I think it is in the horror classic. Clearly, surely it must be in the top 100, right?
Perhaps.
I'm Googling, brother. I'm Googling.
Top 100 what? What are you talking about?
Horror classics.
Based on what metric? Just Aaron's personal opinion.
Yes.
There's no hard and fast way. Okay. Well, you do that. While you do that, I'm going to do my thing. Thank you very much.
Do it.
Go to our page.
What is it? Oh, you already gave it.
I said 3.5. One boob at the with the lavender dress woman. Anywho, we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on TikTok.
We'll be discussing rated it 100 of the top 100.
And? Oh, it's number 100?
Yeah, so it's number 100. Just snuck in.
Good work.
Rated it 41.
Ooh.
And that's enough. It's on the top 100. That's all you need to know.
Fair enough.
There's been some shitty... We have a crazy cousin that was trying to make us watch a girl watch
people.
Home Alone. And we're like, no. She's like, follow him on Instagram. I'm like, no. You know, she's from where you live. No. That's still, don't make it better. Don't make it better. She's like, I can message her if you want to interview her. No, don't make it better. Don't make it better. But she's from there. They filmed it. No.
Girl Walks Home Alone. I thought you were going to talk about Barge People was the other movie that our cousin was trying to get us to watch. So no can do. Anyway, we're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. Look for our reels and our WTF videos. Good times had by all.
I thought we had viewer mail. Are you just rolling into wrapping
I'm
this
doing
shit
that next. I am doing that next, but thank you for keeping me in check. You can email us at the podcast that wouldn't die at
Gmail.
We are on YouTube. We're on Apple, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You please, and all the finer places that you might listen to podcasts. So email us, rate, review, all that good stuff. Aaron.
Stars only, please.
No question. What is your social media situation?
Again, I have much media and I've just added more media. I've just added threads, but I posted nothing. So apparently a lot of my artsy fartsy people had already sent me an invitation. So anyway, okay. I'm on threads. I'm on the muskie. I'm on, well, you can't join me on Facebook. That's not acceptable. But I'm on the Instagram. I got like 12 accounts on Instagram. The Cult of Aaron, Don't Feed the Pigeon, and of course, the Mighty Mighty, the podcast that wouldn't die. For my artsy fartsy, I'm on Artsy under Instant Dreams Gallery, Aaron Doherty. First dibs, same, Aaron Doherty. Go buy something, won't you?
Beautiful. Now, we often talk about questions and comments from our favorite people who listen to our show and from the other people who listen to our show. So, based
upon... If you listen to our show, you're our favorite people.
So, some comments on Speak No Evil that we did some time ago.
All right, lay it on me. Something about why they just laid down there at the end and let themselves be murdered instead of trying to find their damn kid.
Perhaps.
Not so much.
Who's to say? Paul Hibbard said, fun movie. Fun? I don't know if I'd use fun to describe it, but it's very good. No question.
Yeah.
Derek Murray says, my favorite horror film of 2022. Hard to disagree. Hard to disagree
because I can't remember what other movies came out that were horror in 22. So as far as I can remember, you might be right.
Was Dark Glasses 2022? It's definitely better than Dark Glasses.
It's definitely better than Dark Glasses. Occhianeri.
Well, wait a minute. I liked X. X was 2022. This is hard. Now I have to think about it.
I know.
Sweet Jesus. Anyway, next
week.
Did
you see the sequel to X at all?
Pearl. I did not see it. Did you see it?
I did not. We could always put that on our list.
Add it to the list.
Add it to the list.
Next week, we are doing the horror classic Jaws. 3D though. The third one, it was in 3D, although you can watch it in non-3D today, with Dennis Quaid, Louis Gossett Jr., for goodness sake, the guy who played Manimal, the popular TV show at the time. What's her name? Leah Thompson is in this in one of her earliest roles. It is truly an all-star cast. So you
and the worst is... I saw it at the theater with our Aunt Vicky, if I recall. And Vicky always went with me to horror movies when I was a little kid because she loved horror movies and also had no one to go with her.
I love Jaws 3D for a number of reasons. Obviously, the horrible 3D effects. Just, it's chef's kiss. But it's also, this movie was so lousy that when they made Jaws the Revenge, which is arguably even worse, they decided to ignore the events of Jaws 3D and make it a direct sequel to Jaws 2. So there you go. Good times. If you want to watch Jaws 3D, you can watch it on Fubo. You have your Fubo subscription. Peacock.
I do. I have the Peacock. That's how you're going to watch Eurovision next year. Peacock.
And those if you have those subscriptions, then you can watch for free. If you do not, then you have to go to Amazon or Vudu or Apple TV, Redbox, and pay upwards of $3.99.
I will tell you, I have Peacock, so yes. I watched Phantasm on Peacock. And what they do is they make you watch three ads before the movie starts, and then they don't interrupt. But I'm paying for that luxury.
Well, that's a shankaroo. It's like if you're writing a check, no one's writing a check, but if you're paying for it, it shouldn't be, and we're going to give you some ads. Just my opinion.
So you can speak to the good people at Hulu about that also.
I just might have to. So thank you very much, and be well.
Goodbye.